just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And it is Sunday, September 11th, 2016. And today's topic is your privacy. Or could it be something more sinister? This is really exciting. And when I first came across this, I was, stultified. Brought to a mental standstill. I could not understand why this was even being discussed. But your doctor has received an email in his box about your privacy and how you should not be violating your privacy, especially on social media like Facebook, for example. So this, for me, was very confusing when you think about it. Because a doctor's in charge of what? Extracting extremely personal information from you, which is ultimately shared with, well, just about anybody and everybody. Now with the electronic health record, your very private and personal information can, with the press of a button, be sent anywhere. In fact, buying and selling electronic health records is quite the industry. So, how is it that an industry, the healthcare industry, that's in charge of the biggest privacy breach you can imagine, suddenly get concerned about your privacy? And we have, of course, Art Kaplan, the director of ethics at NYU Langhorne Medical Center. And his topic is, should you announce on Facebook that you had a colostomy? Should you announce on Facebook that you had a colostomy? Now, again, as a doctor who treats diseases, why would I care? So why would a doctor who's concerned with identifying and properly treating diseases, why would he care if a patient announced on Facebook that she had a colostomy? So let's take a look at this and see what the deal is. I mean, are they really concerned about people's privacy, or could it be something more sinister? And Art is pretty chatty here. He says, hey, I'm Art Kaplan at the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU Langone Medical Center. At the risk of being declared a total dinosaur, I want to talk a little bit about how we deal with patients who want to put all sorts of medical information up on the internet. Whoa, you mean a doctor has to deal with a patient who wants to put their medical information on the internet? This to me is like, well, wait a minute. That's like me dealing with you, with who you share your wedding pictures with. I mean, it's none of my business. But Dr. Kaplan, Director of Ethics, he thinks it is. Whether it's on Facebook or other forms of social media, all kinds of things are being posted by patients about their health conditions. Now notice that Dr. Kaplan is not questioning the veracity or truthfulness. So he's not saying that these patients are posting untrue things. No, they're posting true things. And doctors should be concerned when patients post the truth on the internet. All right. Recently, a young woman decided to put up some information about her Crohn's disease. For those of you who don't know what Crohn's disease is a painful, disruptive, difficult condition of the intestinal tract. So a Crohn's patient, for example, might have diarrhea like 20 times a day, might alternate that with constipation, might have fevers and severe pain associated with this, and can't really eat very much. And so this is the life of a Crohn's disease patient. Obviously, pretty unpredictable. Can't really go for a car ride. Maybe even need to wear diapers. It's a tough situation. So she said that she had to have a part of her intestinal tract removed. And she was now using a bag, and she wanted to talk about the fact that although it's certainly not something that is desirable, it's also not something that ought to make her a pariah. She felt that it was useful to share information about it with others. Okay, so what we have here is someone who had a disease, Crohn's disease, and obviously the doctor's surgery was not the first thing they tried. So in other words, all the medications they gave her failed. All the dietary changes they told her to make failed. Everything failed. And finally, not only did she get a section of her colon cut out, but they attached a bag to her. And so we're guessing this is a young lady. Yes, he said recently a young woman. So we can deduce that she is maybe of college age. Maybe she's not married yet, hasn't had kids. She has a point in her life where she's got to pick a mate, or hopefully he'll pick her. And she's obviously desperate. Here she is having a bag attached to her abdomen, which is containing feces. Can you imagine what might happen if the bag breaks or detaches from her skin by accident? And sometimes they do. So this lady is begging, pleading for those of her friends on Facebook to understand, not make her a pariah, and maybe invite her to a few social events. And maybe, if all goes well, she could maybe get a husband out of the deal. And so what she's saying then is she's desperately looking for understanding from her friends. What does Dr. Kaplan say? He says, when I heard this, I got nervous. This is where the dinosaur factor comes in. I'm not used to violating privacy. Even when the patient, or in the case of younger people who can't really consent to do this, start to post. Now, is this lady underage? Probably not, because Facebook won't allow you to be on Facebook if you're underage. I keep referring to myself as a dinosaur because when I look at the internet, I am surprised by the types of things that are up there. Who had their drunken binge? And who's mad at whom in the world of romance? And what your ex is up to in terms of their dating life? And on it goes. Whoa, pause, stop here, stop right here. I use the internet a lot. I even have a Facebook account. I don't do a lot with it, but I have a Facebook account. And no place on my Facebook page is anyone posting about their drunken binge. And is anyone posting about who's mad at who in the world of romance? And there's certainly not posting what their ex is up to in terms of their dating life. So one has to question what is going on in Dr. Kaplan's Facebook page. Who's going on? What's going on with his friends? What class of friends is he hanging out with? Just saying. And almost everything is fair game. So what's one instance of Crohn's disease? And so Dr. Kaplan thinks he's hanging out with a crowd that's posting all this bizarre stuff on the internet. He says, but if a patient were to ask me or you, I'd say. So he's telling us if a patient asks about posting something on the internet, we should say, you ought to think hard about this. First of all, there are people who, for various reasons, might want to use your medical information against you. No. They might not want to sell you disability insurance. They may not want to sell you long-term care insurance, or they may not want to hire you because you have a chronic condition. You could be expensive. Maybe you're going to be out of work for more days than other people might be. Now, first of all, anybody who wants to sell you disability insurance has you sign a consent form, and they automatically have access to all of your medical records before they even sell you insurance. So when you post something on the internet about your personal health, you're not telling a disability insurance company anything they're not already going to find out when they review your records as part of the insurance process. Same with long-term care insurance. who writes a long-term care insurance policy for someone whose medical records they haven't seen? Nonsense. Or they may not want to hire you because you have a chronic condition. Well, this lady has a bag plastered to her side, for Christ's sake. You think during the interview the bag might not become obvious, that some odor might not rise up in the room? So again, these are pretty weak reasons for being concerned about her releasing her medical information on the internet. And he says, and people do look through the internet. I've seen it happen with college applications. College admissions officers take a peek at what's up there under your name. And if they see things that make them nervous, it's a competitive situation, they may pick the other person instead of you. Really? Well, first of all, college admissions officers take a peek at your finances. And if your finances are right, they can pretty much make everything else right. It's unlikely that a person is not going to get into any college because their medical records are online, especially something like Crohn's disease where there's not any personal blame. This is not like this person is confessing to being an addict of some sort. And so, again, another very, very weak reason. So this sounds so superficial and specious and nonsensical that it almost makes you ask, what is the real reason? There must be another reason. And so Dr. Kaplan says, patients need to understand that information lives on the internet forever. When they are thinking about putting something up, even if it's just on a whim, they have to realize it'll be there for 10, 15, or 20 years. It may be something that they don't care about right now, but maybe later they won't want it to be discovered. So in my view, we've got to exercise judicious caution when it comes to what patients put up on the internet. Whoa. How can doctors exercise caution about what patients put up on the internet? When the patients put it up on the internet, the doctor has no input on that. So if the patient asks, I would advise them to think twice about what it would look like 10, 15, or 20 years from now if that post were up there. Now, this is kind of almost a joke, because, right, this lady's got a colostomy bag, for Christ's sake. How can anyone who knows her not realize she's got a colostomy bag? I mean, chances are pretty steep that her boyfriend or her husband or her relatives are going to know she's got a colostomy bag. And so he says, although I don't want to fall into that dinosaur old school line of thinking, I do think that there is an opportunity to remind people that not everything that is up on the internet is something that they're going to be proud of in the future. And of course, this is Art Kaplan from the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU Langhorne Medical Center. Thank you for watching. So you have to ask. So he gave all these reasons to respect, for a patient to respect their own privacy. And this is bizarre, right? Because you would think that the patient would ponder this before putting it up on the internet. And this lady is desperate. She's like, hey, I'm a young lady and, you know, trying to date guys and get married, maybe have kids. And this colostomy bag is really standing in my way. And so what's she going to put on the internet? Probably the truth. It wasn't my fault. I did everything the doctor said. I took all the drugs they recommended. And still, I got this colostomy bag. Please take pity on me. This is what the lady's saying. So now, who is going to be upset with that? I'll tell you. The folks who do surgery. The medical industrial complex. Because what's this lady saying? The medical industrial complex failed me. They failed me. I did everything I was told. I submitted to all manner of disfigurement. And still, they gave me a solution, this colostomy bag that has nearly ruined my life. And she's begging her friends to please don't be a part of that and please be kind to her, even though she has a colostomy bag. And this is a huge negative thing for a young person who's trying to piece together a life for themselves. So what's really going on? Why would Dr. Kaplan, the director of ethics at an esteemed New York University medical center, tell patients, don't put your personal business up on the internet. Well, we take a look at the medical industrial complex, then what's going on is we have a medical industrial complex, the hospitals, for example, that kill 1% of all the people who go into the hospital. They're killed. Boom. Goodbye. Dead. 25% of those who go into the hospital are harmed. Harmed as a result of their medical care. So now we've got a situation where 25% are harmed and an additional 1% are actually killed. That's 26%. Can you imagine what would happen if any number of those people started posting their medical experience, their sincere medical experience on the internet? Well, what would happen is their voice would overshadow the voice of the paid models, of the advertising campaigns, and people would actually find out that, ooh, that Crohn's disease therapy isn't working. I better do something else. I don't think I'm going to follow my doctor's instruction if it's going to lead me to a colostomy. And so this is the real fear. There are many campaigns on the internet. For example, post a Red Sox selfie and help raise awareness about heart failure. And here we have a daughter and mother who are wearing Red Sox, posting selfies, and just totally thrilled about the mother's therapy, which has not enabled her to live a normal life. And the mother is, still impaired by her heart failure. And so they're going to post selfies and raise awareness. Now, can you imagine if a legitimate person, not coached by the drug companies, were to post online how they felt about all their appointments, all their drugs, and everything leading them to still be impaired by their heart disease? Yeah, that would be disastrous. Or better yet, what about all those ladies who had their breasts cut off for DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ? What if some of them started posting on their Facebook page saying, hey, you know, I got this cancer diagnosis, I got my boobs cut off, and now I found out it wasn't really cancer. Oh my God, I'm so upset. These things start showing up on the internet in any great number, then it's a tsunami of information that all of the drug company models who are purchased and paid cannot possibly overshadow. So people posting their truthful information will actually destroy the credibility of the medical industrial complex. And a lot of medical scams, if you will be uncovered very quickly just by citizens posting their very real and honest experiences of what happened. Now, let's take another look at Dr. Kaplan and his position. So we have here the medical industrial complex, the same entity that is creating electronic health records. These are records that are sent to your insurance company at the click of a button. In fact, just automatically with every visit. A definite violation of your privacy, legal, but a violation of your privacy. Certainly telling someone about what happened at your office visit without your immediate consent or knowledge. How can this industry claim any credibility when saying that they're concerned about your privacy? Or even better, how about an industry that's blowing you into the government for gun ownership? Talking to your doctor about your guns is the same, basically, as gun registration. The government has the information. and worse information. We'll talk when we get back about what's even worse than owning a company.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Angioprim can unclog blocked arteries and improve blood flow in all parts of your body. Angioprim is oral chelation. Easy, simple, liquid oral chelation. You take it with juice before breakfast and forget about it. Angioprim works fast, unlike old-fashioned chelation that takes hours. Just log on to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim, A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M, angioprim.com. Angioprim users say they have more energy, more strength, more endurance. Increased circulation and blood flow will make all your body parts work better. Log on to angioprim.com to get more information on how you can get started and start feeling better, having fun, and doing more again. Lots more. Talk to a trained Angioprim consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221. Or log on for complete information. Angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Find out how Angioprim can work for you. Get the facts about Angioprim at...
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so when we left, we were lamenting, or I was lamenting, that doctors are blowing people in for owning guns, but worse, they're making a note of who doesn't own guns. So now the SWAT teams know which house they can go to with impunity and safely. So we have the medical industrial complex at the very center of not only violating people's privacy, but taking this information and using it against them and totally facilitating that process. And then we've got the same medical industrial complex. These doctors, seeing patients, are ratting them out for not being vaccinated. Yeah. And so the doctor's basically standing in the way of you either attending the school of your choice or having a job of your choice by blowing you in and saying, hey, this person's not vaccinated. And worst of all, that's not enough. Using every bit of information against you to prescribe the standard of care. This one act of prescribing the standard of care represents the epitome of taking information you give the doctor and him using it against you. Because what happens? The standard of care harms, mutilates, and tortures so many people, and even kills people. We're talking 880,000 people every year. And we're supposed to expect that the same cabal is interested in your privacy? Absolutely not. What's going on here is there are many programs on the internet where, and even off the internet, where drug companies are funding patient support groups or disease support groups. And these support groups are very instrumental in shaping, or trying to shape, people's perceptions of the disease and of their treatment, and increase their willingness to submit to treatment that is in large part ineffective. And so when you have people like this young lady posting on the internet, what basically comes down to, she had therapy that was ineffective and mutilating, it makes people pause, and it makes them less willing to submit to the standard of care, to the medical industrial complex. And this, I believe, is the real concern over patients posting their private information online. This act of posting this private information online has the effect of breaking the spell, the hypnotic spell of indoctrination people have that leads them to submit to the medical industrial complex. And this is a serious danger, because after all, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe some nameless, faceless individual online, or one of your Facebook friends, in terms of a particular procedure and what the outcome might be? And so this is the problem. And the problem is big, it's huge, and it's not going away. So people are more and more posting their information online. And to equate somebody telling the truth about their medical experience with someone revealing some scandalous affair is just not the same. Of course, their medical treatment may be a scandalous affair, but to say it reflects poorly on them may not be totally honest. So this is simply a last-ditch effort for the medical industrial complex to preserve the illusion. And the illusion is, of course, that medical care is healthy and that medical care is beneficial.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Give such delight.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. So we're taking a look, then, at how people posting their medical experiences on Facebook and other social media can literally have the whole system just totally unravel. The propaganda machine begins so early. It begins in preschool with the mandatory vaccines, with parents actually taking their kids to the hospital to get vaccinated. So as preschoolers experiencing medical intervention as something that's necessary, positive, and important. And then, of course, is school health classes, where kids are being actually taught the standard of care. They're being taught and trained to expect the standard of care, to expect mutilation, to expect this intervention, which is so damaging and so harmful. And this is a school. And then you have vaccines required at different stages in school. Then you have college. Vaccines required to enter college. And throughout all of this, you have laws, child protective laws. So if a child doesn't receive or consume the amount of health care that the government or a government official, say a teacher, feels is effective, then there are legal penalties enforceable by law. So this is an incredible uniform presentation to the individual that medical care is valid, medical care is important. And people say, well, geez, I couldn't go to school without it. I couldn't go to college without it. I can't get a job without it. And so then you have the movies showing how important health care is, showing people actually getting better, showing that people are working so hard to get health care. One thing that really gripped me as a kid was all the scenes of the woman racing to the hospital so she can get there in time before the baby comes out, and how getting her to the hospital in time was her husband or partner's responsibility. And all of these things indoctrinate into the mind that healthcare is necessary. Healthcare is desirable. Healthcare is helpful. Then we have the annual physical exam, nothing more than a ritual. Even the medical industrial complex says it does more harm than good. It harms people. Then we have the screening rituals, and it's now being revealed. The truth about cancer is, well, most times it's not cancer. That's the truth about cancer. So we have all these screening rituals that people are involved in, and these big stories. If you care about your loved one, you'll make sure they get their colonoscopy on their 50th birthday or whatever birthday they may have changed it to recently. So we have these screening rituals. Then we have laws that compel insurance. And having insurance is actually the first step to consent. And it's one thing that I saw when I was in medical school is if the hospital was empty and didn't have enough people filling their beds, they had people who would literally, social workers, go out on the street, drag in homeless people, put them in a hospital bed, and just start doing screening exams until they found something. And so what people don't understand is having... So these people, this was done, why? Because they had government insurance. They had Medicare or Medicaid. Or the hospital, with the social workers, the army of social workers, could sign them up. And so having health insurance, as a practical matter, negates your consent, because the payment is the consent. And this is what I saw when I was in medical school. I said, oh, my God. Well, thank goodness I don't have insurance. Well, thank goodness nobody can do that to me, because I just wouldn't pay for it. And so the laws that compel insurance are actually the first step in assumed or presumed consent. So if you have insurance, you presume consent. This also now gives laws or courts the ability to legally mandate certain types of medical care. Why? Because legally mandated, because it's already paid for. Whereas before, like, well, we can't mandate this, the person can't pay for it, and we can't mandate that the hospital or facility do this for free. So now that's a major barrier to compulsory insurance that has been totally, totally removed. And so the medical industrial complex is not at all interested in your privacy. They are interested in their privacy. They're interested in their ability to lure more unsuspecting people into the web of carnage, destruction, and killing. You know, they're paid patients online, giving stories written for them by the medical industrial complex, by marketing groups, but these stories would easily be overshadowed by real people sharing their real experiences. And actually this has happened online, where people have actually started groups around certain drugs, where now you can actually go online and read what people are posting about their experience with a certain drug. And these experiences and these side effects, these negative effects, are tremendously ahead of what the FDA or drug companies are admitting to in their package inserts. So this is the true issue here. The true issue here is, how can this propaganda facade be maintained if patients are posting their personal experiences with the medical industrial complex online? And the answer, of course, is it's very difficult. And the medical industrial complex, despite its large reach, is a limited amount that they can do. When you have these appearances online, this information that basically creates what we call a pattern interrupt. So the pattern people see is they have insurance, it's considered a good thing, they get their checkups, that's a good thing, and what's a pattern interrupt? I got my checkup, they found something that wasn't wrong, they chopped me up, cut me up, and now I found out it was all for nothing. That's a pattern interrupt. In fact, I have a friend down here in Panama, and he smoked a few cigarettes in his life, he drank a little alcohol in his life, and he was coughing, and his cough was very bad, so he went to go see the doctor, and he said, "Oh my God, you've got lung cancer." He says, "Oh no, I do." I said, "Yep, you've got lung cancer." And they did a bronchoscopy, which means they take a tube, they put it down the throat into the lungs, and they get brushings and samples of the fluid in the lungs, and they look in that fluid for cancer. And so they did this, and they did not find any cancer. And do you know what they told them? "You've got cancer, we know it, and we're going to find it. Look at this X-ray, a chest X-ray. You got a cloud right here in a chest X-ray. That's cancer, we're going to find it." So, of course, next step is they cut them open to get a little sample of that pretty big mass. They did that, got a sample, still couldn't find any cancer. But, of course, he had complications, and then he had to go back in again for a second surgery. And this is the kind of thing that the medical industrial complex does not want to see on Facebook pages. Now, this person, he doesn't believe anything went wrong. He's glad that they checked and they checked and they checked, and he's glad everything was done. But a third party reading his story might interpret it a little bit differently. They might interpret it to say, "You know what? That is not the way I want to spend my golden years. I do not want to spend the rest of my life in recovery from having my chest cut open twice." And just a pattern interrupt, an incongruous piece of information, can bring the whole thing down. So what's a person to do? Answer, for Christ's sake, post your information online. You know, if you have encounters with the medical industrial complex, then talk about it, blog about it, mention it on social media. And it doesn't even matter if it's good or bad. Just mention it. And then there'll be a body of knowledge about what really happens to people. And this will be information that people can look up and find when they search the internet to say, "Hey, you know, I'm going to have XYZ procedure. What do you think?" And I think that is a wonderful thing. It is a great service. And again, an industry that kills 1% of people every year who encounter it, and an industry that harms at least 25% every year, with that kind of record, I'm sure there's a lot to write about out there. And so we can actually move to questions. And our question phone number, let's check and see what the phone number is. because sometimes it changes. Our phone number is, I got it, 512-716-1603. The number again, 512-716-1603. So that is our call-in number. And we have a great chat coming on, going on in healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com. That's healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com. All right, so we've got a few questions here. Dr. Daniels, by the way, I asked the EpiPen question because EpiPen was at the news this week. And so the question on EpiPens are, the cost of EpiPens have gone up from $50 to $600. Of course, they're designed to only last a year, so even if you don't use one in an emergency, you still have to buy several new ones just in case. What is the natural alternative to an EpiPen in case of emergencies? Okay, so the question is, what is an EpiPen? An EpiPen is something that looks like a pen, and it is filled with epinephrine. And so when a person has an allergy reaction, they stab themselves with this EpiPen, and it injects epinephrine, which counteracts the allergy reaction. So the first thing to understand is, okay, let's just say you have an allergy, bee sting allergy, whatever it is, bee sting, nuts, shellfish. And when you encounter these things, you have such a bad reaction that you have to go to the hospital. So, of course, you get an EpiPen to take care of things. My experience with these situations is when I first ended up in, when I first started my private medical practice, people would come in and ask me to write them an EpiPen prescription. They would ask me to write them an EpiPen prescription for anywhere from 1 to 3 EpiPens, and every year they would come in for another EpiPen. I'm like, I'm scratching my head saying, man, this is really adding up. And of course, back then it was only like $30 maybe. Well, still, it's a fair chunk of change. And so one year, a lady who comes in every year for EpiPens came in and said, you know, my husband is in bad health, and he is not able to operate our landscaping business anymore. And I have to go out there and do this and do that, and I am dreadfully allergic to bees. And, you know, I pass out, and I know that that can't be changed, but I want you to at least help me with my asthma because I'm having breathing problems. What can I do? Literally, I put her on a 100% organic diet, gave her some supplements, and it was 3 months, and she no longer had her bee allergy. So she was out working, some bees stung her, and usually people who have these allergies, as soon as that bee stings them, they feel it. They feel it. She didn't feel a thing, so she didn't reach for her EpiPen, and nothing happened. So she came back to the office and said, oh, Dr. Daniels, I don't have my bee allergy anymore. Here's, and she gets a pile. She gave me this pile of EpiPens and said, here, you take them and just give them out for free to whoever needs them because I don't need them anymore. So these allergies, whether it's peanut allergy, shellfish allergy, bee sting allergy, are all due to toxicity. And so if people will aggressively detox, in other words, go 100% organic or even better than that, go to the point where they're growing their own food and they're not putting any chemicals in it, then they're going to find they don't need EpiPen. Now, you might be a cautious type. Maybe you want to spend the $600 to get your EpiPen for this year. But you want to be really meticulous about it. You want to eat 100% chemical-free food. You want to do enemas. For God's sakes, don't eat any dairy. And these allergies clear up. And that is what I would do. But let's say you haven't cleared your allergies yet, and you know you've got one EpiPen, you've used it, and you can't really afford another EpiPen. So you can carry clay, you can carry activated charcoal, and as soon as you get bit, you can slap on the clay or the charcoal and pull out the stuff right there from the skin where you have the bite. The next thing you can do is you can drink the same, and that will soak up the chemicals and toxins and poisons. But you've got to, you've got to take definite action and really aggressively cleanse yourself to get rid of these allergies. All right, we have a call from Mike in South Carolina. Hi, Mike. Uh-oh, we have a going to break. We'll talk to you after break, Mike.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. We have a question from Mike in South Carolina. Hi, Mike.
Welcome back, Dr. Daniels.
Thank you.
Just recently, I'm going to share something. You've been hitting on some subjects that have literally touched my life, not only personally, but people around me. I'm beginning to see this more all the time. This breast cancer situation, I think, is more epidemic than anything. I think, from what I'm beginning to see, it's more of an issue of a money mill, insurance issues, and it's scaring a lot of people. I've known a couple of one woman who actually went through a small little issue out in Texas, and they said she had breast cancer, so they went ahead and removed just a little piece of what they said was infected breast, and then they turned right around 2 or 3 months later and said that she had full breast cancer and then removed her breast. I don't think these things are for real. I think they're being made up. And you talked about having the organs, the internal organs, also tested for cancer also. I know personally two people who have it done. One of them said that he had a polyp inside. They had to repair it. I'm at a point right now. I don't believe it. I don't think that these things are normal or natural. And I think it's all about insurance. I do know that I've had feedback from other doctors, two other specialists that I was going to, who said they're hearing it more all the time. It's all about the insurance. It's not about getting people better. It's about the insurance. And I'm gonna share with you a personal issue that happened. I found out about 3 months ago where I had a cousin, really nice woman, about 10 years younger than I was. I found out that she had passed away a year and a half ago from gallbladder surgery. Mm-hmm. They took her in to a hospital in New York, in Western New York, and 2 days after her surgery, she was not responding. The third morning, they put her air vector from there into Rochester Hospital, and it was not but a couple hours later she passed away. And I asked myself a question, and I'd like you to address this or what you know of it. Where? How many people are dying from gallbladder surgery? I mean, you go into a hospital thinking you're going to be protected and that your issues are going to be taken care of, and you end up dead.
Absolutely.
Her family still hasn't gotten over it, and they're not responding to it. And I very much want to go after that doctor and the hospital. It doesn't make sense to me. What do you think's happening
they
here?
They did nothing wrong. They followed the standard of care. She met the certain criteria for having a gallbladder removed. They gave her a form to sign, a consent form. She signed it, giving her consent. Enlisted on that form was death as a possible complication. And so that's it. There's no case.
It's almost like the doctors are now reverting from being professional helpers to professional killers.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they are, professional killers.
And I want to pass on something else that you probably have detected. You'll hear more about this. I was going to a specialist because I was left with diminished eyesight from a doctor who lied to me. I went to get a second professional opinion by a doctor who, or a group who were connected with Duke University and Harvard University. I found out something else. This is nothing more than a revolving insurance scam is what it is.
Let me do this commercial. We'll come back at the end. You can tell us more.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then. Then once again.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.